Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And Coleman, they say that the second presidential debate between President Donald Trump and Joe Biden, it's going to be a little bit different because the first one bothered so many people. It was rude. As I mentioned on Wednesday morning when we came in here to start the show after the debate on Tuesday night, it wasn't America's proudest night. But it looks like this next time it's going to be a little bit different than the second one. I know there's two more of them. The second one, it looks as if they're going to be electrically shocked every time they interrupt the other person, whether it's President Donald Trump or Joe Biden, the challenger. Yeah, it looks like either they're going to be electrically shocked every time they interrupt the other combatant. Well, no, it's not going to be like that, but it will be different. It's going to be one of those balls that you see in sex, whether it's S&M or something other. They're going to shoot a ball in their mouth to keep them quiet. That's how they'll keep them quiet. No, it's not going to be like that. What they're going to do is they're going to do what they have to do to keep them quiet. And I think what leads right now is they're going to just keep them quiet.
Yeah, they're going to have a mute button.
Yes. There's going to be a button that will mute them. So from what I read, I guess the Trump folks aren't that happy about that. They're saying, "What do you mean you're going to mute us?" But it's pretty sad that's where we're at. That they're going to do that to keep them one of them quiet, push a button, and then they will be muted.
It'll be kind of weird to see, as you'll be able to see their mouth still moving, but you can't hear what they're saying, so you just have to go off their body language, because just pressing a mute button doesn't mean they're going to automatically shut up. We're just not going to be able to hear them, so they'll be rambling on, and it just will sound like, it'll just be looking like we put the television on mute, which will be weird.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be like. It'll be wild if one of them won't shut up, letting the other one finish what they started saying in the presidential debate, then someone will be pushing a button, and the person will be muted.
It's a shame that we have to do this for men that's in their 70s. Like, the idea that none of them could just let the other one speak for 120 seconds. I don't see why it's so hard for both of them to just contain themselves and let the other one finish their idea before they chime in. For some reason, they feel like they have to just say before the other one finishes, no, 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 you're going in the wrong direction. Like, you don't know. Let them finish their point first and then come in. I don't see why the discipline is so hard on these grown-ass men.
Yeah, it's sad. It's like grumpy old man or grumpier old man, or who's the grumpiest old man?
Well, Vice President, no.
Can I be honest?
No. The answer to the question is no.
Not true.
You're going to have. Gentlemen, I hate to raise my voice, but it seems to be, why shouldn't I be different than the two of you?
I've had most civilized conversations with drunk people at bars, even when we disagreed. Because at least the other one would be like, all right, well, you go finish your point. And then the other one would start drunk grambling. At least the drunk people finished their point. These men were completely sober.
Stone cold sober.
It's crazy.
That's what we were listening to. Well, and like I mentioned, which person who is watching this with only a little over a month to go until they actually have to go to the polls and vote or mail it in. What could possibly go wrong there? Which person is doing this and they haven't figured out who they're voting for yet? I mean, most people, I think, at this point have an idea who they're voting for. I wonder who the person is that is tuning this in that has absolutely no idea who they're voting for.
At this point, both candidates have the people that they're voting for. It's just up to them to lose them. That's the only way. No candidate is going to win somebody else at this point. Now it's just up to the candidates to do something so stupid that they'll lose the votes. Because they already have, you know, everybody knows who they're pretty much voting for.
Yeah, that seemed to be the most important thing, or at least the thing that most people were talking about together this week. Even if it wasn't so together. Well, the second one's coming up in another week and a few days. So get set. And hopefully these two will be able to represent not only their party, their political party, but represent the United States of America and mankind.
How long until the next debate?
Is it next week?
Oh, well, is Trump going to be able to make it since he has COVID-19 now? He has to quarantine for 14 days?
Does he have it or does his wife have it?
I think they both have it. I think Melania and Trump both have it. Somebody said that Trump is just saying he has the COVID-19 so he doesn't have to go to the next debate, but I don't think that's true. So we'll see what happens, though.
You would think Trump enjoys the debate more than Biden.
Yeah, of course. They could have a Zoom debate, even if he has COVID. They could just set up some cameras and, you know, have Joe Biden in his bunker and Trump in his Oval Office, and they could have a virtual debate. That way it would be easy to mute because you have a button to just mute the chat box.
Well, and it looks like the second one is going to be a town hall format.
Uh-oh.
Compared to just a debate. Two old dudes standing there. The town hall, they think, may be better because these people, the two candidates,
mm-hmm.
it'll be cool that they'll be able to look in the eyes of someone that's actually going to vote for them and speak to them.
Yeah, but with the COVID rules, are they going to be able to have people at the venue, or is it going to be like the NBA doesn't have screens of people? It's virtually at the, like a virtual town hall meeting, because I don't see them able to have, you know, especially with their age and Joe Biden being frail and Trump already having COVID. I don't see them actually having people in a town hall setting at all.
A debate bubble?
Maybe a debate bubble. Yeah, have a debate bubble with virtual screens.
Like how they finish the NBA season. Like,
yeah, I can see that happening.
Well, stay tuned.
2020, man.
Yeah. Hey, we got a lot to do on the show today. Coming up. We mentioned this yesterday, and it's going to happen. It's not totally phase three yet for Orleans Parish here in New Orleans. We will continue to be the only parish out of the 64 parishes. 63 out of 64 parishes here in Louisiana are in phase three. New Orleans, not quite yet. There's other things going on. We'll break that down and explain that to you. Coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And here in the city of New Orleans, in Orleans Parish, and we're the only parish in the state of Louisiana. We're the one parish out of 64 who still is in phase two, or as our mayor, our tax cheat of a mayor, Lataxa Cantrell, calls it, we're in phase two. We're still in phase two. Remember the conversation between WDSU Channel 6 reporter Travers Mackle and New Orleans Mayor Lataxa Cantrell? Couple of weeks ago, we played it for you on the show. But when the other 63 out of the 64 parishes decided we're moving into phase three and recovering and opening up the economy, reopening the economy here in the state of Louisiana, it was good enough. Phase three was good enough a couple of weeks ago for 63 out of the 64 parishes. There was only one parish where phase three wasn't good enough for. And that was here in New Orleans, in Orleans Parish, where our mayor, Lataxa Cantrell, said, no, we're still in phase two. And when Travers Mackle asked her, yeah, but what about the high school football teams and players? Will they be able to play football? She said,
yes or no, can high schools play football starting today in October in the city of New Orleans, yes or no?
I just answered that question.
But it wasn't, with all due respect, I think there's a lot of confusion.
With all due respect, phase two, what confusion? We've been in phase two. We will remain in the phase two. The guidelines are very clear.
So yes or no, can high schools play football?
Phase two.
Phase two. As a matter of fact, as we sit here right now this morning on Friday, what's today, the October 2nd or 3rd?
I think it's March 307th or something like that.
I think that sounds more correct. But as we sit here on the first Friday in October, we still in phase two. Phase two. Tomorrow, Saturday here in New Orleans, we're going to kind of join the other 63 parishes here in Louisiana by moving to phase three, but not really. She has created, the mayor of New Orleans, has created sub-phases inside these phases. Now, this isn't happening anywhere else in the state, anywhere else in the country, but just here in New Orleans. We won't be in phase three. Now, they're calling it 3.1. We'll be in tomorrow. We start phase 3.1, which doesn't make any sense because we're not fully moving to phase three. This is more like phase 2.1. And, well, excuse me, phase 2.1. In phase 2.1. She's saying, though, we're going to be in phase 3.1, even though we're not fully moving to phase 3.
I'm just as confused as you are.
I don't understand how we're not fully in phase 3, yet we can be in 3.1. See, every other parish, they said we're in phase 3.
Right.
Orleans Parish, the one parish out of the 64 that is for the last 2 weeks been lagging behind in phase 2. In phase 2. When asked if the high school footballers can play football, she didn't give a simple yes or no answer a couple of weeks ago. She said, we in phase 2. But starting tomorrow, according to her, there's a sub-phase. We're in phase 3.1. And then if we're good for 2 weeks, then we'll be able to move. Then we'll be able to move to 3.2.
I think the word is comply. If we comply, we get to move to 3.2. Well, that's what she's looking for, compliance. That's another one of her buzzwords.
And again, she's doing this because she can. Why did she keep New Orleans and Orleans Parish in phase 2 when every one of the other 63 out of the 64 parishes decided to move on to phase 3? Because she can. So why is she now creating sub-phases inside phases? Because she can. She has the power to do so. So she will. Every other state now, or every other parish in the state of Louisiana, they've been cruising along in phase 3 for 2 weeks. New Orleans, Orleans Parish, no. We're stuck in phase 2.
Oh, man, I had the worst nightmare, John, last night. I felt that now that we have these sub-phases, interphases, like three phases into phase 3, not only that, she's going to stretch it out even further and delegate each one of those phases to different businesses. Like certain businesses will be able to go to 3.2 while other ones stay in 3.1. The businesses that behave or comply will be able to move to 3.3. So not only does she separate the phases by phases, she will give certain businesses and schools and certain districts and certain neighborhoods, like she's going to delegate which one stays in which phase. So this part of this neighborhood could go to 3.2 since they comply. Well, I didn't see anybody wearing masks at this business, so that business had to stay in 3.1. But these people are being really good in their brown nose, and so they get to move up to 3.3. I guarantee you should think of something like that, having different parts of the city, different businesses moving to different phases at different times.
Well, starting tomorrow at 6 a.m., Saturday at 6 a.m., parts of the city of New Orleans will be in phase 3.1. And we will, later in the show, we will go through which neighborhoods, which streets, which businesses are actually in 3.1. But then some others aren't. It still stinks for bars. I know that much. Bars, the only thing they'll be able to do in phase 3.1 is serve to-go drinks. But they still won't be able to open. They still won't be able to be open late. And the bar owners and some bar owners and some business owners here in New Orleans will continue to suffer. And I think what she said yesterday, how we'll start phase 3.1 Saturday. I think what she did yesterday was nail the final nail into the coffins of a bunch of New Orleans businesses, a bunch of New Orleans bars. They're not going to reopen. I believe it's going to be at least 60% of the businesses in New Orleans and the bars of New Orleans that shut down will not be reopening, will never reopen again under the same ownership. And I think it stinks. And why is she doing it? Because she can. So we'll break down what tomorrow's 3.1 means for some of the businesses here in New Orleans coming up on the show. It still sucks for bars. That's all I know. And to be honest with you, it sucks for people who live here. We have a lot of other things we're going to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us. But this is our last day and last night in phase two, as she calls it. We in phase two. And as you know, if you've been paying attention, last night here in Orleans Parish, at least the high schools in New Orleans were able to start to play high school football again. So slowly but surely, we're getting there here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Well, we've made it to October, the last quarter of the year. We're in the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter! Keep our heads up, and we'll make it through. And did you know October is Dwarfism Awareness Month? Sadly, many dwarves are overlooked. You're on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You don't see this headline every day. Pastor did exorcism. Wait, take two on the headline you don't see every day. Click. Pastor did exorcism on toddler and used meth with church members.
I'm on meth.
This story's out of Arkansas.
It's kind of early for the dumbest thing, though, you think?
Well, this wasn't actually the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Oh, boy, we have a great show for you tonight.
What do you mean tonight, Coleman? It's 6:37 in the morning.
Yeah, my biological clock's all thrown off because of the weather.
Evidently, at this church in Arkansas, the pastor there, he got charged for using and possessing crystal meth, methamphetamine. And on the side, he also, their questionable behavior by performing an exorcism on a toddler. A child abuse investigation involving a pastor in central Arkansas led to drug charges after police discovered he was using meth at church with his parishioners. 49-year-old Pastor Lloyd Eddie Lasker Jr. was charged with possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and possession of a gun by a convicted felon. After police found him at a gas station in Mayflower, Arkansas, with meth. And they only found all of this because they were investigating his shady behavior of performing an exorcism on a toddler.
Yeah, but was it by request, though? Did the parents request that he perform the exorcism? If it's by the parents' request, I don't think that's shady at all.
Yeah, I don't think he just grabbed this toddler completely randomly and said, you know what, I just feel like doing an exorcism today. Where's the nearest toddler I can find? I don't think that's what happened. Mayflower, Arkansas, it's a town of less than 2,000 people. It's about a half hour outside of Little Rock, and that's where this happened. But when I saw this, I was trying to think what's more unique. A church pastor who performs exorcisms on toddlers, or a church pastor who is on meth, crystal methamphetamine.
I would go with the meth. I think that's more rare.
Yeah, the police there, they were called to the church for a welfare check because of the exorcism with the toddler. You just don't see that very often. I guess the word got around the church there that, hey, there's going to be an exorcism on the toddler.
I don't see, but see, if that's part of your religion, if that's their religious belief, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see what the red flags were. It's sort of like saying, okay, over here at this church, they're performing a baptism. Well, over here at this church, they're performing an exorcism. Like, that just kind of goes par with the religion, right? Don't religious people perform exorcisms at times? I don't see what the big deal was. I think they just got lucky. They just happened to know that this guy was shady and they found meth. But other than the exorcism, doesn't spark any red flags to me.
Well, the only thing I cared about when I read this story is how the toddler is. And by the way, the toddler is just under 2 years old. The toddler is 21 months old.
Okay.
And I just wonder how many 21-month-olds have had exorcisms before.
I don't know. I know who could use an exorcism, though.
Who's that?
I mean, you're clear, but I just got a notification that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died! Could this year get any worse? Ruth, you just had to make it to 2021!
See, that's demon possession right there. She can use an exorcism or maybe some meth.
It seems like she was possessed by something. Well, anyways, the 21-month-old child is okay, and now the pastor up there, he's got some problems. Old Lloyd Eddie Lasker Jr. It's interesting how he's already a convicted felon, and now he's in trouble again for being a convicted felon in possession of a gun. And also with being a pastor and a convicted felon in possession and on meth.
I would be this guy a lawyer. I would say, yes, that's all part of his religious belief. His religion believes that meth brings you closer to God. He believes that God blessed him with a firearm to defend himself from evil spirits. There's so many ways that a lawyer can spin this on the basis of religious freedom that this guy shouldn't even be in the trouble he's in. I think they're intruding on his personal religious beliefs.
Well, look, if I'm a clergy person in that church, and that church, by the way, it's called the House of Refuge and Deliverance Ministries up there in Conway, Arkansas. I might be looking around for, if not another church, at least another pastor. This guy's got some issues he's got to deal with, and I think he has to take care of himself before he takes care of his congregation. So, but you don't see that every day where police show up at a church and there's a pastor on meth, and he's also doing an exorcism on a 21-month-old toddler. All right, coming up on the show. Hey, do you see who had his first high school football game? Archie Manning's grandson. And his name's Arch. And he plays at the same high school that Archie Manning's sons, Peyton and Eli, played at. Newman, uptown. And boy, he put up some big numbers the other night. Well, this just happened. Actually, it was last night. He put up some monster numbers. He's only a sophomore, and he could be the best Manning out of them all. Now, that'd be saying something. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
I'm on meth.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So, last night, Arch Manning, who is the grandson of Archie Manning, and he's the son of Cooper Manning. He's the brother of Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. Well, Cooper's kid, Arch Manning, last night started his sophomore year of high school at Newman High, the same high school where his uncles, Peyton and Eli, played very well. And last night, Arch Manning completed 13 out of 16 passes for 260 yards. He had four touchdown passes and one touchdown rushing as he led Newman over East Jefferson. Well, they were up. It was 41-0. Is
they don't have a mercy rule in high school football?
No, but they're saying this kid, he's only a sophomore right now, but they're saying that he's going to be the next one. He looks like he's following in his uncle Peyton and his uncle Eli's footsteps. But keep an eye on him as he got off to a big start last night as Newman easily beat East Jefferson High School at Yenny Stadium. So watch that kid. He looks like the future's bright as another Manning is going to come through and make a big name for himself. That's what it looks like here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Bon Jovi there. And today, a new Bon Jovi album has been released. Today. He was supposed to release it. And by the way, it's the 15th studio album from the band Bon Jovi. And it's the album is titled 2020. That's the name of the album. And it was supposed to come out about 4 or 5 months ago, but because of coronavirus, John Bon Jovi said, I'm not going to release the album right now. The last thing the world needs right now is an album from a rock band singing about all kinds of different stuff. And so he waited to release it, and today is the day that the new Bon Jovi album comes out.
You would think they would have enough time to retitle the album after seeing what type of year 2020 actually was. You'd think at some point maybe a PR person or a brand marketing person say, hey, you know, since the events of 2020, we may want to, you know, change the working title of this album just in case.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Coleman, because he says that I thought 2020, the title, the year, everything, when he was about to release this, signified clear vision. He said he said that I thought I had a vision of where we wanted to go and what I wanted to say. But then all of a sudden, coronavirus happened, and they put everything on the back burner. You know, it's interesting. John Bon Jovi's 58 years old now, and this album that is coming out today, 2020, as I mentioned, it's his 15th album. How many? I don't know. I haven't heard any of it yet. It's just like, how many songs does somebody have inside them? You figure what? There's anywhere from 10 to 15 songs on an album, anywhere in between there.
Mm-hmm.
This is his 15th album.
Yeah, I mean, he has a real creative soul. He finds inspiration from anywhere and everywhere.
It's interesting. You know who else has new music coming out? AC/DC.
Yeah!
There's a snippet going around the internet right now. I mean, and they make Bon Jovi look young. It's something how some bands, they can just... They keep going. I mean, what stinks about AC/DC now is that founder and Angus Young's brother, Malcolm Young, this is the first AC/DC we're going to have without Malcolm Young. And that kind of stinks. They got another Young. They got another brother or cousin who's replacing Malcolm Young on this new AC/DC album that's going to be released. I mean, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, you look at bands like this. They had a huge impact on rock and roll, both AC/DC obviously, and Bon Jovi. But as time goes on, it's incredible how they just keep releasing albums, album after album after album. They're good. I don't think that the later albums that either of these bands released were nearly as big, or you might want to use the word important, as the earlier albums they released, but they just keep going.
All right. Personal question. Do you think AC/DC is coming out with new music? Bon Jovi has a new album dropped today. You think it's for the love of the music, or you think certain band members are strapped for cash?
No, I think they do it for the right reasons. I think they still love music. I think because they don't have to. Okay. I mean, well, when you look at both of those bands, everybody in the bands, they're doing financially fine. In each of those bands, there are people that are doing much, much better than in those bands than other people in the band. I mean, for instance, you look at Bon Jovi here. There's three guys left from the original Bon Jovi. You've got John Bon Jovi. You've got the keyboard player, David Alan Such. And then you've got the drummer, Tico Torres. Those three guys. Now, when you look at those three guys, who writes the songs? Mm-hmm. Obviously, John Bon Jovi writes most of the material. So it's the songwriters in the band who make the most money.
Right.
And, you know, what's interesting, and with AC/DC, Angus Young is the leader and the guitar player, and then you've got Brian Johnson, the singer. They write most of the stuff. Two of the other guys in AC/DC, although they're rich, they're not nearly as rich as Angus Young and Brian Johnson, because the rhythm section in AC/DC, they never wrote anything. The bass player Cliff Williams and the drummer Phil Rudd.
I think the drummer in AC/DC has the easiest job in the world. I mean, we listened to that little sample of AC/DC yesterday off the air, and that drum just, dude, it's that classic AC/DC drum pattern that they seem to use in most of all their classic hits.
Well, Phil Rudd, the drummer from AC/DC, will never be confused with Neil Peart, the drummer from Rush. He will never be confused with someone like that. It's, yeah, you could say basically it's pretty much the same drum beat on almost every AC/DC song. Sometimes it might be a little bit faster.
Yeah, the tempo might change a little bit.
But it's interesting how you say you wonder if bands release albums because some people in the band,
right,
need the money.
Right, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking certain people are strapped for cash, so they're probably doing a favor for some people that don't have the publishing rights or may not be a key member of the band.
Well, you look at The Who.
All right.
Pete Townsend wrote pretty much all of the Who material. So Pete Townsend is so much richer. He has so much more money than the singer in that band, Roger Daltrey. And every time the Who toured over the last, 25, 30 years, they say it's because Roger Daltrey really wanted to tour because Roger Daltrey needed the money that they would make from performing live. Right. And Pete Townsend, okay, well, I'll go out. I'll put my life on hold, and I'll go out on tour with you for 6 months or for a year or whatever the case may be because you need the cash, because I wrote all the songs, and I'm the one who gets checks four times a year when you don't.
Well, you got to appreciate that he's actually willing to go out and work for his money instead of just asking the leader, like, hey, dude, can you give me a percentage or something? He wants to earn it. He wants to go out and tour and earn it. So I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, but it's very interesting. And every band is different. But there's no doubt about it. The people that write the songs, they're a lot richer in the band than the people who don't. And I don't know if AC/DC is going to tour for this album. I would imagine they would, because when you put out a new album, the touring is what you do next. But obviously, the guitarist Angus Young and the singer Brian Johnson, they're not depending on this tour money. They're set for life. But the bass player Cliff Williams mm-hmm. and the drummer Phil Rudd from AC/DC, I'm sure that they could. They could use this tour money. Again, they're doing fine, but they're not doing nearly as fine as the guys in the band who actually write the songs and get the songwriting credits. Anyways, so how about that? As we sit here in the first week of October of the worst year of our lives, most of our lives, 2020, today a new album from Bon Jovi, and then very soon we will have a new album from AC/DC. Rock and roll keeps rocking here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So breaking news overnight, both the President of the United States and his wife, the First Lady, have coronavirus. That's what the news out of Washington, D.C. is. They're getting different reactions. I'm checking out social media. Look, I don't care how much you hate somebody, you don't wish death on them. I mean, can we ever get to this place, back to a place in a country, in our country, where it's okay to disagree with somebody? You can agree to disagree and still be all right. But I've noticed some of the reaction on social media. There are some people that really want the coronavirus to do its number on the president. And then there are other people who think that this is a hoax. They don't believe it. They think this is some kind of a political hoax announcing that the President of the United States and his wife, the First Lady, both have COVID-19 coronavirus. But look, again, we need to get back to a place where it's okay to disagree with someone. It's okay to not be a part of, to not be one of the sheep. It's okay to have different opinions. We used to live in a country like that. And I blame social media on the reason why it's not like that anymore. You say one thing that a lot of people disagree with, and they come after you, and you can see it with your own eyes. But hopefully, I don't care how you feel about people politically, you don't want anyone to die from this thing, right? Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And we have talked about on this show several times how someone made a social media post and it cost them a lot. Whether it cost them their job, it cost them their marriage. And we just saw it happen again. And the most dangerous thing that many people can do is push the send button when they're on social media. And it just happened. A Connecticut sports reporter, a sports anchor in the state of Connecticut, just lost his job because he called in a social media post the only Republican, the only black Republican United States Senator, Tim Scott from South Carolina. The Connecticut sports reporter, in a tweet, called him Uncle Tom. That's a racist name. If you're gonna call a black person, you can call him Uncle Tim, a black person. You could call him Uncle Tony. You could call him Uncle a lot of things.
You can't call him Uncle Ben anymore.
No. An Emmy-nominated Connecticut sports anchor was fired this week after calling the South Carolina senator. Again, he's the only black Republican senator, Tim Scott, Uncle Tom, or he called him an Uncle Tom. Channel 12 out of Connecticut canned sports reporter Fred Gertaney as a result of his racially insensitive comment. See, isn't that something when here's a black guy, a very successful black guy, a United States senator. You're a success. If you become a United States senator, well, we only have 100 of them at a time. If you become a United States senator, whether I agree with you or disagree with you, I would say that you're a success. You've become one of only 100 people. You've become one United States senator. So here's the sports anchor in Connecticut who obviously doesn't like this senator's political party. So then he decides on Twitter to call him an Uncle Tom. That's a pretty offensive term to call a black person. Coleman, you're black. I'm not black.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find the term Uncle Tom? Do you find that to be racist and extremely insensitive?
Yeah, my take on it is I've been called an Uncle Tom on many occasions. I've been called an Oreo on many occasions.
Well, you being a black guy working at a classic rock radio station,
mm-hmm,
some people thought your on-air name was Uncle Tom.
So I was called an Oreo because Oreos are black on the outside, white on the inside. It's all because I just have a free-thinking mind. However, I understand what they're trying to say. I understand that they're trying to insult me and be racially insensitive, but I look at it as pity on their part because they're just misjudging me. You know, because, I mean, I'm black through and through. There's no doubt. My DNA code said so. But I don't take personal offense to it. I feel pity for people like that. I get that they're trying to insult me. I get that they're trying to bring me down and call me fake. I'm not a real black man. I get what they're trying to do. But I don't take any offense of it because, one, they don't pay my bills. And, two, they don't want to fight. And, three, you know, it's your right to judge me. I literally do not care what people say to me. That's probably a bad thing on my part. I don't want to get offended by any insults or nothing like that. But
yeah, you and I have that in common, too. I wish at some point something would offend me so I could relate to some of these people that are always offended that you see online. But pretty much nothing offends me, and that's why I just shake my head when I see these people. But anyways, I just find it amazing that here's a guy that was on television doing sports for Channel 12 up in Connecticut, and he decided on his own time that he was going to call the only black Republican United States senator an Uncle Tom.
And thought that it was okay to do so without no repercussions, as if he can send that tweet out and nothing would happen to him. He'd just go to his job the next day without anybody saying anything or without any backlash. He got confident and comfortable with that decision.
Yeah, it was after the debate, and it was after they asked South Carolina Republican Senator Tim Scott, if Donald Trump did not successfully speak out against white supremacy. Tim Scott said, well, he said that the president misspoke when he was talking about that group, the Proud Boys, when he talked about them needing to stand back and stand by during the debate on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Scott said, when he was asked about that, and remember, Tim Scott's a Republican, just like Donald Trump is. Tim Scott said, yeah, I believe the president misspoke there. He needs to clarify that he does not believe in white supremacy. Well, after he said that, that's when this Connecticut television sports reporter tweeted, thanks, Uncle Tom.
Isn't it funny how one vowel can change the context of a saying? The guy's name is Tim Scott. And he probably is really an uncle, so it wouldn't be a thing to call him Uncle Tim. He probably has nephews and nieces that call him Uncle Tim. But if you take that I and put it as an O, all of a sudden Uncle Tom, it's a completely different turn. It's a completely different phrase. So I wonder, what about black people actually named Tom that are actually uncles? Is it offensive to call black men that have nieces and nephews and Uncle Tom if their name is really Tom and they really are uncles?
I'm sure there's a lot. There are many black guys named Tom in this country, mm-hmm. in America, who happen to be uncles.
Right. So would it be offensive to say, hey, guy, you're an Uncle Tom? And he'd be like, well, yeah, my name is Thomas, and I do have nieces and nephews, so I'm an uncle. Yeah, you're right on cue.
Well, anyways, this sports reporter who lost his job for doing that, again, his name is Fred Gertani up in Connecticut. Once the heat came down on him for thanking Uncle Tom, he then tweeted, earlier today I tweeted a racially insensitive comment when I referred to Senator Tim Scott as Uncle Tom, or as an Uncle Tom. I apologize to the senator, my colleagues at Channel 12 here in Connecticut, and anyone else I may have offended with this deeply offensive tweet. So you can add this sports reporter from Connecticut, just throw him on the pile. To the list of how many people, because they decided to just tweet something or post something on Facebook, they just push send. And the next thing you know, their whole life is turned upside down.
Call me weird, but I always find the apology and the backpedaling after it more offensive than the actual offensive tweet. It's like, dude, just stand by your words. We know what you meant. Like, who cares? But it's always that, yeah, I changed my mind now after everybody jumped into my grill. I find that more offensive than the actual tweets.
I know. We know what you meant. We saw it the first time.
Right.
And you lost your job, so what's the point of going on and apologizing? The damage already done here on Bayou 95.7. Be careful. You don't need me telling you this, but anytime you push send or post, just make sure you've doubled and triple checked what you've said here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And so many people are doing so many different things, whatever they can possibly do to try to make it through insanity that is the year 2020, the whole coronavirus situation. I just read a very interesting story about these four people who worked at Emeril's restaurant here in New Orleans. And when they were furloughed, they had a meeting, these four Emeril's restaurant employees. And they said, well, what are we going to do? They're like so many other people. We need to make money. We're out of a job right now. So you know what they decided to do? They decided to get together, call themselves the Furloughed Four, and they were going to take their experience in fine dining, good food, and wine, and they were going to make it available to go to your house.
Hmm.
And they've been having a lot of success. They call themselves the Furloughed Four, and their business now is to take orders from people, and they'll go to their homes. They'll go to anybody's home who will pay them, and they will prepare an Emeril Lagasse-like meal at people's homes. How cool is that? The leader, his name is Ray Gumpert. He said, quote, none of us were expecting to be out of work for as long as we were. So they decided, they said, quote, how do we redirect? And that's how this was kind of born, thinking outside of the box. And what do we do next? So they got two chefs and two wine experts make up the Furloughed Four. And they now have a business where they have a Facebook page, they have a website, where anybody could have them, you pay them, to come to your house, cook you a fantastic meal. The wine experts are there. They'll give you, in their opinion, the best wine to go with that meal. And it's something that they do right in your own kitchen.
It'll be interesting to see once things get back on and popping and everything flows like normal, where they go back to their old jobs or where they stick with their entrepreneurship and continue with the Furlough Four and just continue doing what they're doing because they find more success and happiness and morale, you know, doing that, you know, higher morale.
It's a good question, Coleman. I mean, if their business is doing well, I'm sure they're gonna continue to do that, and they could probably get back to work at their jobs at Emeril as well. Maybe hire a few extra people to work at the Furloughed Four.
This is another example of how capitalism is so awesome. You know, in the time of necessity, they found the niche. They found something that they were good at, and they were able to apply it without having to go through all the rigmarole as you was in the communist country. And we had examples of that earlier when we was going to, like, phase one, and we was on lockdown where different companies were making hand sanitizer. They usually make vodka, or the MyPillow guy was making masks. Like, when necessity happens, that's when capitalism shows its true value, and they, you know, people are able to go out their necessary comfort zones and their pegs to find new things that they can do to benefit society.
You know, what's mind-boggling is how many younger Americans don't believe in capitalism.
It's probably from a lack of understanding what the true root of capitalism actually is.
And the fact is, Coleman, capitalism has brought more people out of poverty than anything else in the history of this planet. And, but this is, and you're right, this is a perfect idea about the greatness of capitalism. When something goes wrong, well, let me try something else.
Yeah.
And so these Furloughed Four, they're just going to different people's homes and they're cooking them a fantastic meal, a meal that you would get if you went to Emeril's here in New Orleans. or if you went to another fine restaurant here in New Orleans, and they do it right in your kitchen, and they clean your kitchen too.
That's going over and beyond.
I mean, and they and I'll tell you, this is something that some people, boy, it's nice to be able to experience something like this, such professionalism, in your own home kitchen. For a simple price.
You know how when Netflix came about and kind of that was like the downfall for Blockbuster and brick and mortar stores? This could be something. I guarantee you in the next 15 to 20 years, this business model, this dynamic that they're using is going to become so popular that they may be the standard bearers for a new form of fine dining that we haven't even considered yet. This can be something in the future that's commonplace, and right now we're seeing the birth of it. Like, we're seeing history in the making. If it becomes successful and it picks up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just thought this was great. And it's just people thinking about when life throws you a curveball, you got to be able to, hit it. And the greatness of capitalism is, here's a perfect example of it right here. As you can come up with your own idea and your own different ideas for a way to make money. So but anyways, they're called the Furlough Four, and they will take they'll go to your house, they'll go to anybody's houses who will pay them to have just a fantastic meal. And they'll do it all in your kitchen, and they'll leave the place looking even better than when they showed up.
That's an awesome selling point right there, because my kitchen needs some looking after right now.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Twisted Sister there, their frontman, Dee Snider, hosts the show here on Saturday nights, The House of Hair. It's always entertaining. And Dee made some news this week saying that he is hugely disappointed in one of his idols, someone he idolizes. Dee Snider said that he's hugely disappointed in Alice Cooper over comments that Alice Cooper made. What did Alice Cooper say that bothered Dee Snider so much? In an interview now that's 2 years old, Alice Cooper said that he keeps his political opinions to himself. Alice Cooper said, quote, "I don't like to mix politics and rock and roll. I don't look at Bono, Sting, and Bruce Springsteen as political. I look at them as being humanitarian. I'll contribute to anything humanitarian, helping people who can't help themselves. But when musicians are telling people who to vote for, I think that's an abuse of power. You're telling your fans not to think for themselves, just to think like you. Rock and roll is about freedom, and that's not freedom." So that's what Alice Cooper said. And Dee Snider didn't really agree with that, even though Dee looks up to Alice Cooper and Dee idolized Alice Cooper. Dee didn't agree with what Alice Cooper just said. You know, it's interesting how we were talking about a bunch of people in America right now are down on sports, mm-hmm, because there's a lot of politics involved in sports, and most people just want to watch sports to get away from politics, get away from the news. That's why we turn on a ball game, to just forget about the daily life stuff for a few hours. You know, rock and roll, you could say the same thing about rock and roll. But then again, there are some people that like to mix the two.
Well, rock and roll does have a history of being rebellious and revolutionary, especially during times of like the Vietnam War. They had a lot of songs, you know, that were pretty much anti-protest of things you don't believe in. So there is some form of art that can be considered political. Like, their art is an expression of people's beliefs and how they feel, and they're trying to inspire those to kind of open their eyes to their view. But I don't see what Alice Cooper said that was so wrong and why Dee Snider should be so upset. It's sort of like Dee wants Alice Cooper to take a stand and say, this is what I believe, and this is, and I want everyone to just do it as I say, sort of. You get what I mean?
Well, Dee Snider said, quote, "I'm hugely disappointed in Alice Cooper calling musicians speaking out an abuse of power. Alice is a friend and a hero to me, and I know a lot about the man. Many of my heroes and inspirations are people who spoke out against political positions, and his own legacy challenged us to question the accepted norm. I ask you, Alice Cooper, is it okay to challenge art but not philosophy? Doesn't it all come down to questioning beliefs?"
Well, yeah, you can question beliefs. You can question society's behavior. You can have social commentary, but that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be political. By pointing out something in society that you want to speak out against, or in being enlightening, like something has changed your mind, that doesn't necessarily have to fall into a political ideology. It could just be, like Alice Cooper said, in a humanitarian ideology. Humans have evolved from the way we thought, you know, from thousands of years ago to now, without it necessarily being a political view, just a view on society in general, just a growth of, you know, our enlightenment and our awareness of what it is to be a human being, not necessarily what it is to be a Democrat or Republican or, you know.
But when you hear, you go back to the 60s, mm-hmm. when the culture was changing in the United States of America, when with the counterculture, mm-hmm. and the rock bands in the 60s were singing about peace and love and things like that. You could look at that as political, but you could also look at that as them just singing about life around them and how times are changing and how they want to see things compared to how things used to be.
I don't think it's a political view just to say you want peace in the world. That's a generic human view. Like saying you want peace is a political stance. I don't think so. Saying you want peace is just what every human being should want to want, just peace in general, whether it's wartime or peacetime.
Well, speaking of politics in rock and roll, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all week, and it has to do with an election that, I'll tell you about it next. Here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's about that time. And since it's Friday, where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all week. Mayor reelected to third term in landslide, despite having died from coronavirus 2 weeks ago. Well, look, I've heard of dead people voting. I don't know if I've ever heard of dead people winning elections before. This happened in Romania. Romanian villagers reelected their mayor by a landslide this past weekend, despite the fact that he had died from coronavirus 2 weeks ago. His name is Ian Aleman, and he won his third term as mayor of Deveselu, Romania, which is a village of roughly 3,000 people in southern Romania. The vote count showed he won with roughly 64% of the vote. I mean, this guy, very respectable dude, a former Navy officer for Romania. And on Monday, this past Monday, it would have been his 57th birthday. But the problem is, he died a couple of weeks before that.
What's dumber, the fact that a dead man won an election or the fact that the guy that was alive lost an election?
I know, I'd be looking for something to do if I was the guy who lost. I'd be, maybe politics isn't my thing if I just lost to someone who's been dead for a couple of weeks.
Or maybe most of those votes were sympathy votes. Maybe the Romanians were like, hey, this guy died, so let's give him one, you know, on his way out. Like postmodern sympathy votes.
Well, Coleman, I'm glad you brought that up. Because in the story I've got, many villagers there say they voted for him again because he had done a good job as mayor while he was still alive.
Yeah, see? Sympathy votes.
Well, maybe they're thinking he did such a good job as mayor while he was still alive. Maybe even though he's dead, he'll still do a good job dead.
Probably do a better job most if he's a typical politician. You know, we always want government to get out of our way. Well, here's one way to do it.
Yeah. Well, the mayor who was reelected to his third term in a landslide, despite having died from coronavirus a couple of weeks ago. That's the dumbest thing I read all week.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. A portion of former United States President George Washington's Mount Vernon estate in Fairfax County, Virginia, is for sale for $60 million.
Cha-ching.
And that's only part of the original Mount Vernon. The property belongs to the former CEO of Lockheed Martin, Robert Stevens. And the price tag is $60 million for just a portion of President George Washington's estate up there in Fairfax County, Virginia.
Well, does the portion on sale involve the restroom or the bathroom? Because that's pretty important.
Yeah, there are bathrooms in this portion.
Okay, cool.
Of George Washington's Mount Vernon estate. But it's a National Historic Landmark. And like I said, the former CEO of Lockheed Martin, Robert Stevens, and his wife, Michelle, own it. And it belonged to the Washington family, to George Washington's family, until 1859. And then it started, and then it was sold, and it sold again, and it sold again. The Stevenses purchased this property back in 2014. For $18.6 million and have since torn down an existing house and erected a brand new home that features nearly 16,000 square feet of living space. So I just thought that was something. Part of the original Mount Vernon, George Washington's home, is on the market now for $60 million in Virginia.
Aren't you looking for a new place to stay?
Yeah, but I want to, wherever I live, I kind of would like to want the whole thing.
True.
Or, but if it's someplace like this, I think one decent sized room would do the job. $60 million for part of the original George Washington estate. Pretty cool, huh? That's capitalism. Hey, it's our commercial free ride right now. We're in it now. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.